a blessing to be with you today. First thing I'm going to ask you all to do is smile. Where's my picture at? Let's see here. Figure this out. That's one. Get back further. I got to get you in there. Uno, dos, tres. There we go. And anyway, it's a blessing to be here today. Let's open in prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, you bless your word today, the testimonies, the scriptures. And I pray you bless each and every person here, that you'll strengthen them in their faith and their trust in you and their service to you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we just give you all the glory, Lord. Amen. My better half is over in Korea right now. Emmy is attending a two-week conference, continuing education, kind of dealing with world evangelism and so forth, with several other Filipino people. And then I've been here for a month. I saved the best church for last, you know. I say save the best for last. So this, I'll be leaving on Thursday. And so I called Pastor Dale when I first got in. Pastor Dale was always an encourager to me in the early days of my life and throughout the times that we've known each other. And of course, Dick Schorb was played a big role in my life as well as a mentor and an encourager. Just briefly, what we do in the Philippines, we have 27 churches over there that we've pioneered in a region that was actually the least evangelized region in the Philippines, Region 8. It was only about 2% born-again Christians. And a lot of these are up in the remote areas. One fellow was so far up in the hills that buying him a motorcycle wouldn't work. I had to buy him a horse, you know. And he could go visit his members on horseback up in the hills. But I've just found in life, the main thing is hearing the voice of God, hearing the call of God, and then just responding. You just step out in faith. You don't have to have a, you know, like in karate, you got black belts in karate. Well, in theology, you don't have to have a seventh degree black belt in theology. You don't have to have $1 million in the bank. It might help. Probably it hurt you to begin with, actually, because you have to go and just take a step of faith, and you learn as you go. You learn from your success. You learn from your failures, and you move ahead. But if it's God calling you, you can do amazing things. And so the message I want to talk about today is called Finding and Fulfilling God's Purpose for Your Life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 through 11, and I'm going to go through some of these scriptures fairly quickly. I've got a fair amount of them to share. What time do I have to quit?
10:10.
10:10, that's a long time. I better slow down. I usually have an interpreter, so you got only go half. So I'm gonna speak Southern now. Well, no, South is a wonderful place. Really good, very hospitable people in the southern parts of the states. Anyway, in 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 through 11, this is out of the New Living Translation. I use different ones, New King James, so forth. But the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Verse 10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. In accomplishing things, and even in regards to this message, one of the exhorting emails that Pastor Dale sends out usually every Saturday, I had not been on that list. We talked on the phone. He sent out a message. And right off the bat, there was a couple quotes, one in particular, that fit right into my message anyway. It was by Dwight L. Moody. And he said, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And that which I can do, by the grace of God, I will do. That fits with every one of us, amen? It's a very excellent message. Serving God, Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14. You know, the author of Ecclesiastes had a lot of, everything's foolishness. He was talking about many of the frailties of the world and so forth, the senselessness of certain things. But he closes with a very, very important message. He says in verse 13, Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, he says, that's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. But after all the different things he wrote, the key thing was really serving God and following God. Now, God created you for a purpose, and excuse me as I walk over, I could not find my cup of water when I was getting up, and I need to get it so my throat doesn't get too dry. So, God created you for a purpose. The question is, how can you fulfill God's calling for your life? In Acts 15, verse 32, it says, then Judas and Silas, both being gifted speakers, preached long sermons to the believers, strengthening their faith. Well, I'm not going to preach a long sermon to you today, but I am going to try to encourage you and strengthen you in your faith. What's the foundation for everything? The foundation, start out with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Move to John chapter 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word, and they're talking about Jesus. And the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Now, when you look at human inventions, the human inventor, say, creator of the car, boat, airplane, cell phone, maybe even your vacuum cleaner, everything was created for a purpose. And friends, you were created by God for a purpose. You know, God who created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, all the living creatures on this earth, and God specifically created you. He created you for a purpose. And guess what? As long as you and I are still breathing, we have not fulfilled God's call and purpose for our lives. Amen? In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, the word of the Lord is talking about Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me. God said, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And same thing works with us. Pastor Dale, God formed you before He formed you in your mother's womb. He had a specific reason and purpose for your life, and you're in the process of still fulfilling, just like every one of us. We're not here by accident. Age factor. How about the age factor in ministry? You know, Jeremiah first complained, well, I'm too young. And God corrected him on that and explained why. But in, say, 1 Timothy, as far as for the youth, 1 Timothy chapter 4, 12 through 13, Apostle Paul's telling Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He was saying, as a young person, Timothy, don't let people belittle your youth. Step out and do what you're called to do. Well, how about if you're a little bit older? How about if you're advanced, middle-aged, or young seniors? You can only be an old senior for over 100, so nobody's, you're either young seniors, I'm somewhere between advanced middle age to a young senior. I haven't figured out which one yet. But anyway, the reality is, okay, Psalms. So we like to make excuses. We're a little slower. It takes longer to get up sometimes. We've got a few more aches and pains. But there's no retirement in the ministry. There's no retirement in God's call in your life. Psalms 92, verse 14 in the New King James Version, it says, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. So regardless of age, we can fulfill God's purpose and assignment for our lives. Amen? I remember a man who made the front page of the Tacoma News Tribune, which is a liberal newspaper, but he was a pastor. He made the front page of the Saturday copy about, must have been 8, 9 years ago. And Bishop Otis Clark, he was still preaching the gospel. He was 108 years old. He had driven a car till he was 105 years old. They actually came from the Midwest to Tacoma to pioneer a church because they had studied it and thought they needed a church. He'd been married 3 times, never divorced. And they asked him, so what is the secret to your long life? Oh, one other background. You know how he got saved? He was a bootlegger back in the 1920s. You know, illegal alcohol. He was in jail. And Salvation Army came and he got born again. That's how he got saved. So anyway, they asked him, well, what's the secret to your longevity? He says, I don't have a clue. He said, you'd have to ask God because I never intended to live this long. But as long as I'm alive, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. And let me tell you this, if you're on God's side, you're on the right side. So that was kind of encouraging. I took that and laminated it. I kept it back in the Philippines now, that article. And he lived to be 109 before he went to be with the Lord. So regardless of age, we can fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So God's saying, I have a good plan for your life. And we need to, you know, he says later, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Sometimes we have to really be serious God seekers and serious listeners, you know, to what God is saying to us. So God created you on purpose, and you will fulfill, you know, fulfilling your purpose is the greatest thing you can ever do in your life. Okay, what's the beginning? We're born physically, but the second thing, to start the whole process, God wants you to be saved. We know that. Everybody here pretty much already know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. For God so loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, that so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a heaven or hell question. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, in Acts 16:31. So when you really believe in Jesus, when you receive him as your Savior and Lord, you become spiritually born again. Your life changes. The scriptures become more alive. And you ever notice that? You just become more alive, more meaningful to you and so forth. You have a more intimate relationship with God. So, obviously, that's the first step. The second step is what? It's pretty complicated. It's 3 words. Obey the Lord. John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And Matthew 16:25-26, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world? But lose your own soul, is anything worth more than your soul? And that's just really true. A lot of times too many people, they want to put off putting God first. They'll put God second, third, fourth, someplace. We have our plan, we have our goal, they're trying to follow that. In Proverbs 14, the chapter 14, there's a verse that says that many a plan seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. So the bottom line is if you seek God's will for your life, you will live. If you live your life for him, not only will you be rewarded in this life, but you got heaven ahead. Guidance, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Talks about guidance and direction for your life. And many of these are familiar, but sometimes we need to be reminded of certain things. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So trust in God, seek God, and he will direct you on the best path for your life. And a lot of times when we listen, you ever notice like children, they have ears that are kind of funny sometimes. They have pretty bad ears sometimes. Like when you say, go clean your bedroom. And then you go an hour later and the bedroom's still a mess. And so I thought I told you to clean the bedroom. Oh, I never heard you. Or maybe I forgot, might be another one, but I never heard you. But I kid about this in the Philippines, about the kids there, you could be whispering to your wife, and the kids could be like 50 yards away and said, you know, I bought some ice cream for the kids. The kids are like 50, 100 yards. Wow! They start screaming and hollering. They can hear that. They hear real good. Well, that's us with God sometimes. If we hear maybe what we're not so excited to hear, our hearing might get a little bit not too good. It needs to stay good. We don't want to just get excited when we hear what we want to hear. Amen? We've got to really seek God. And whatever path He puts us on is the best path for our life, period. Again, fulfilling God's call, Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3. It talks about pray, listen, write down, and do it, and live by faith. You ever know sometimes God will speak to us, but if you don't write things down, we have a tendency to forget sometimes. You can have a prophetic word, sometimes at a conference or where God's speaking to you. It's important to write things down so you can see those, because God's not going to just keep on repeating and repeating and shouting. We have to respond. In that scripture, it says, I will stand my watch, I will set myself on the rampart and watch to see what He will say to me. And when I answer, what I will answer when I am corrected. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So in seeking God's will, pray and listen. A lot of times when we pray, we do a lot of talking, you know. Sometimes we just pray about family, friends, and so forth. We need to be looking at the whole global process. But sometimes we need to just simply pray and just sit down and remain quiet before God. For, you know, if just 2 or 3 minutes being quiet, it can seem like a long time. But sometimes we have these 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But we need to sit down and really listen to what God's going to say to us. Now I have a question. I'm going to give you a question, then I'm going to give you a Filipino answer. Now, is it hard or is it easy to do God's will? Well, the answer is yes. Sometimes if you ask a Filipino whether they want this or that, they'll say yes. I mean, they don't, you know, we're used to going specific, but anyway, it's just kind of a joke. But the truth is, the answer really is yes, because sometimes it is easy to do God's will, and sometimes it's hard. Is that factual? You have times, you know. So now sometimes we need to be encouraged and strengthened to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. I want to give a few examples of this. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, 28, God told Moses to speak to Joshua. Verse 28, he says, but command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you see. See, God was chosen by God. Joshua was chosen to go into the promised land to lead those people. But God knew he needed to be encouraged and strengthened. And so, but command Joshua and encourage and strengthen him. And we need to do that for one another at different times. And, you know, sometimes it's God himself. As I mentioned, you know, this encouragement factor, sometimes God will directly encourage you. Say, for example, let's say you felt led by God to do something, but you're a little bit uncertain or you're a little bit concerned whether you could do it or not. Have you ever noticed that on some occasions you can just open the Bible, you've been thinking about something and you happen to look and bam, there's a scripture that just speaks directly to you. So let's say you had that thought, you weren't sure what you're going to do, and you happen to open the Bible, you look at a scripture, and you happen to come to Isaiah 41:10. And this scripture leaps off to you, says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Now, if you open up and saw that, would that be an exhortation to you? Well, the answer is yes. It really is. And on occasions, you really can find just at random certain scriptures that really will strengthen and encourage you. God will speak to you. Now, you can't do that all the time. You remember the story perhaps about the guy who was going to try to find God's will, and he just took the Bible and he threw it open and he looked down at the scripture. He looks at it and says, "And Judas went and hung himself." Well, that didn't look so good. So he shuts it up and he opens it up again, looks at the scripture, and it says, "And go therefore and do likewise." Well, you know, I think maybe that may, see what I'm saying? You still have to have some wisdom on that factor, amen? So God will encourage us, though. And Jesus needed encouragement. In Luke chapter 22, verses, and needed to be strengthened. In Luke chapter 22, 42 through 44 in the Living Bible, Jesus gives this example. He says, Jesus walked away, perhaps a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed this prayer. "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of horror from me, but I want your will, not mine." Verse 43, "Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened Jesus. For he was in such agony of spirit that he broke into a sweat of blood with great drops falling to the ground as he prayed more earnestly." So even Jesus himself needed to be strengthened. So if you feel worn out at times, pray and ask the Lord to strengthen you, and he will help you. Amen? How many times have we personally experienced that, where we really kind of just thought, and all of a sudden you call to God, and all of a sudden you just get refreshed, and so forth. It's really important. And this ministry of encouragement talks about this in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. What a wonderful God we have. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of every mercy, and the one who wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships. And why does he do this? So that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and encouragement, we can pass on to them this same help and comfort that God has given to us. Amen? We are comforted and strengthened by God, so we also can help others in their times of trials. And we then can help and, you know, comfort and strengthen them with God's help. Amen? It's very important. Now, listen, sometimes we need to encourage ourselves. We need to give ourselves a pep talk. We need to trust in God, focus on Him, speak His word. For example, just say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," speaking the word. The psalmist writes about this, Psalms 42:5. It says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." The same, that's in the New King James Version. In the Holman Standard Bible, it says, "Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and God." Now listen, you want to be encouraged? When you get up in the morning, you can sing this song in the mirror. Now, you might get up the first thing in the morning and you look in the mirror, and this is a Filipino word, and you go, "Agee!" You know, kind of like almost startle yourself. Well, don't do that. Do this instead. You get up to the mirror, you look in that mirror, and you sing this song to yourself. You say, "Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body, he healed my mind, he saved me, oh, just in time. Yeah, look what the Lord has done." You look, you go, "Wow." Well, you'll feel better. Now, your friends or family might be crazy, but you'll feel, you know, more encouraged. So, you know, speak his word. Try to do this with me. "I can do all things." Speak this through Christ who strengthens me. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will never leave me nor forsake me, because Jesus promised that." Amen. We speak his word, we build ourselves up, and we're speaking the truth. Amen. Now, in Galatians, we have to be persistent also. Galatians 6, verses 9 through 10. And it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Don't grow weary while doing good. A lot of times we've been doing the right things. We've been trying to move ahead. We've been looking for results. We haven't seen the results, and we become discouraged. And sometimes victory is just right around the corner. You can't see it, but it's close. That's the time when the enemy will come in and try to discourage you and cause you to just stop and give up. But it says here, don't give up. Keep on being persistent, moving ahead. I sometimes in the Philippines share this testimony about this young guy that decided to grow some corn, have a kind of a big garden. And so he worked hard. He got the soil all prepared. You know, he planted all the seed, put it down there. He worked really sweating all day long, goes home and rests. And then he comes running out the next morning to look at this garden area, and there's nothing there. He goes, huh, doesn't work. Well, you say this guy's loco, right? Crazy, because what has to happen is it takes time. You have to water it. You have to take out the weeds. But after, say, 2-3 months or whatever procedure it takes for the particular type of corn, it grows up. You get these big stalks of corn, delicious corn. You can pick that, harvest it, invite your friends over, and so forth. In due season, you will reap if you don't give up and quit. And so it's just very simple. It's a very important scripture. Another principle is that we need to get God's word into our minds and heart. Amen. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And in John 8:31-32, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need to be doers of the word of God. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. A lot of times you'll find people, they can quote every scripture in the Bible, but they don't do every scripture in the Bible. You know, we don't just have to have it memorized. We need, Jesus said, go, right? Go and preach the gospel. Don't just sit. Move. But if you move down to James 1:25, it says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Amen. So a lot of times it helps to personalize the scripture into self-talk. Praise God. Remember this, that your prayers and your actions and service, faithfully serving God, can help change the world in a positive way. You can make a huge difference. Some of the people you've encouraged, or some people can be heading the wrong direction. So hold back those struggling to the slaughter. And sometimes your intervention through prayer, my own self, I remember as a kid, I was probably the wildest of the bunch of all of our family. Not probably, I was. And in my 20s, a pretty big hellraiser, drinker, and so forth, and et cetera. But at our family gatherings, like at Thanksgiving or Christmas, because most of the family never prayed over the food, but my grandmother always did, she'd always say, Gordon, would you pray and bless the food, you know? And my brother and cousins kind of chuckled a little bit. But I knew this prayer I learned at Sunday school. It's a good prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. And may this food to us be blessed. And so God said, okay, you goofy kid, that's exactly what we'll do. You know, come. But anyway, my grandma, after I got born again, when I was, I had all that background, but I actually got born again when I was 31, almost 32 years old, August 27th, 1979. Second day I was there, I promised God that I would go anywhere in the world if you put my life back together and I would share with people about Jesus. One way, a few months later, I was at my grandmother's house, and we were praying together. She come from the Lutheran church. That's where I originally grew up at, and had foundation things that helped me once I really gave my life to Christ. And we were praying together, and I really felt the power of God when I prayed with my grandmother. And my grandmother turned, and she looked at me and says, you know, all my life, I prayed for all you grandkids once every day, and for you, I always prayed twice every day. A lot of times we're here because of people's intercession. Your prayers make a difference. Your faithfulness and continuing to pray for people make a difference. And You know, daily and nightly prayer, regular reading of the Bible, having that faith in God, taking the basic steps of obedience. Because God, if you don't take those first steps, He's not going to let you. If you miss step one and two, He's not going to let you jump to step five. Just that simple obedience is so important in fulfilling God's call in your life. And then remember something else. Guess what? Like if you were on a football team, say praying in the Super Bowl, you know what? You ever notice the one thing you're always going to have? You have opposition. In Christian lives, we have opposition. We have an enemy, the devil, who's going to try to discourage you, weaken you, block you from fulfilling God's call in your life. In Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 12, it says, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and His vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil." It says, "For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Just so, he goes on to describe the armor of God. It says, "Put on the helmet of salvation." That's the mind of Christ. "Put on the breastplate of righteousness." That's not our righteousness, but it's the righteousness of Jesus. Taking up the shield of faith. And I believe that shield of faith is not just a frontal shield. I think it covers us from head to toe, all the way around. Taking up the shield of faith by which you can extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one. I mean, when the devil throws lies at you, you already, through your faith, you're able to cast those things down. It says, "Gird your loins with the belt of truth." The belt back then used to carry your weapons and so forth. So a lot of times that's really your knowledge and so forth of the Word of God, your ability to use it, feet shod with the foot pads of the gospel. Then taking up the sword of the Spirit, which I believe partly we were doing earlier when you say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," and so forth. Praying for people's healing, sometimes commanding healing. We have the ability to command things. So we got to realize that there is an adversary. And sometimes when you feel really discouraged or put down or even sickness, the enemy will try to put a lot of things on you. You've got to realize we are in a war. So it's not all a bed of roses, amen? Some of it is, but not all of it. And so remember whose battle it is. This is also important. And remember, these are some other areas we're talking about what will help you in fulfilling God's call in your life. And not everybody will do this. Fasting, some people can't fast because of medical reasons. But fasting, prayer, prophecy, believing, and praise equals victory. There's a whole sermon just in this one in 2 Chronicles, or pretty much of a sermon in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, going through the whole thing. But I'm going to just touch a part of it. In verse 2, what was happening is Israel was being attacked by this vast conglomeration of different armies coming in. And verse 2, "Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazon Tamar,'" and so forth. Well, it says, and Jehoshaphat feared. He wasn't a coward, but he realized the danger. There's no way in the natural that they had enough troops to deal with that. And the first thing he did, though, was to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask the help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. So they really gathered together, and that's one of the things we do in times of trials or tribulation, really, really seek God. And they also fasted. Well, then later they had a prophetic word in verse 15. And he said, "Listen, all of you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." And there's sometimes battles that we're involved with that we forget. It's not just our battle, it's the Lord's battle. And when we begin to trust Him, put faith in Him, it really works out. Well, then, as they're going to go to the battle, God says, tomorrow you're going to see God bring about a great victory. Well, in those days of warfare back then, like even the Roman armies and so forth, they would have musicians and drums, but they were in the background, boom, 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 boom. Always in the back, the army went forward. But in this case, what they did, they put the praise and worship team out in front of the army. Huh. How about the praise and worship team? You want to go out in front? Yeah. But they're going, hallelujah, and giving glory to God and praise to God. And it says, as they worshiped God, God caused these other armies to attack each other and destroy each other. Israel didn't have to kill one of them. The army came to destroy Israel, to rob them, to loot them, steal from them. And that army was destroyed. And the only hard work that Israel had was to, took 3 days to go out and gather up all the spoil. The gold, the silver, the weapons and stuff that this army had left. Praise precedes the victory oftentimes in our lives. Amen? It's really important. So we've talked about several principles. Now, just getting close to closing, Apostle Paul was a pretty mighty man of God, a great warrior. He said in Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 13, he's talking about pressing towards the goal. In verse 12, he says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. And friends, we need to be a people, whether you're 10 years old, 50 years old, 91 years old, 100 years old, as long as we have breath, let's serve God, let's honor God, and let's press on to the high calling of God for our individual lives. What was the quote we read earlier? Pastor Dell had in his message, I'm only one, but I am one, and I cannot do everything, but I can do something, and that which I can do, by the grace of God, I will do. Dwight L. Moody, he was a mighty man of God. Friends, God loves you. He created you for a good purpose. God has a good plan for your life that offers you a future and a hope. Put God in first place in your life. Seek His will and His plan for your life. Fulfill God's purpose for your life. God bless you always. Amen. You want the mic?
No.
Okay.
Thank you, Gordon, for this very
lifting service that you brought with a message from God's Word. Now, Gordon gave a message that I would call the shotgun approach. There's a difference when you fire a shotgun and when you fire a .22 rifle. I haven't fired either one of them since my childhood days. But when you fire a shotgun, the buckshots go out and scatter. And when you fire a .22 rifle, it has a bullet, and it aims right on the target, right? So, and all the scripture that Gordon shared with us, I'm sure a buckshot resonated with your heart. It sure has with mine. I really like the one verse of many that you use, Gordon. In your old age, you shall bear forth fruit. Amen for that. And so, how does it work? One beggar telling another beggar where to find food on Sunday morning. I remember Wayne had a conversation with Milo when Milo was alive, and Wayne did some work for he and Eileen. And then Milo said, Wayne, where do you go to church? So all he said, where do you go to church? Wayne said, well, we're kind of shopping around. And Milo said, well, why don't you come and try our church? So all that it took. And here's Wayne sitting beside Eileen, right? And so another thing that I really, amen for that, we really love and appreciate Wayne in our church. Another thing I appreciated about your sermon, Gordon, is the value of prayer. And people come to know the Lord because someone out there has been praying for them. And the way that I have learned on how to pray for your friends and your relatives is you pray, "Dear Lord Jesus, John Doe comes to my mind today, real good friend of mine, love him a lot, or Sally Jane, love her a lot, but they're not saved. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask you to draw their spirit unto yourself, that they might be saved. Help them to turn from their self-centered ways to the Christ-centered ways. In Jesus' name, that's my prayer." And prayer works. And so, God bless you, Gordon. Now, before we leave, I want you to turn around and introduce your friends to the church. Amen. Let's welcome Bill and Mary to our church family today. Now, just for your information, yesterday we had a graveside service for DC's mother. She passed away May 5th, and she just was on the verge of turning to be 89. And we had the privilege of showing her how she could gain entrance into heaven in her last few days and months, last year or so. And it was with a sad heart, but a joyful heart, because we know that his mother is in heaven with the Lord. And there was about 60, 65 people there at the graveside service. And over here on my right, Crystal and Katie did a fantastic job catering the lunch following the graveside service. So if you have a function and you want it to be catered, their fees are affordable. So we thank you, Crystal and Katie, for that wonderful job you did catering the Craig family. And if you happen to have a moment, drop DC a card in the mail or send him an email. And that would greatly encourage him, like Gordon was saying in his message. We all need encouragement from time to time. And when one loses a loved one, that's when they really need the support and the encouragement of the church family. Sherry, come up here just for a second. We have a moment to spare here. Just so you folks, maybe you don't know, but I really love my little sister. And God bless you, Sherry. Come on up here. She took a tumble. And look at the results. Unbelievable. Now, she also has a hip problem. And she's having an injection forthcoming. She also had a very bad congestion problem last weekend. So she's crippled up. And I'm not. But I love my little sister, and we all so much enjoy her playing the piano here at our church. And let's just have a special prayer for my little sister. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Sherry. We thank you for her heart that beats in tune with your heart. I pray, Lord, that you would keep her encouraged, strengthen her faith. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bring healing, quick recovery from her broken body. And as an act of faith, we place her into your loving arms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
She's my sweetheart.
I love my big brother.
Next to Marianne.